that what I have been trying to say to those who come to listen to me, and to those who care to listen to me, that what I have been saying has nothing whatsoever to do with religion. We have all been told, and some of us have been brought up, that by accepting certain beliefs and trying to live up to them in our daily lives, and that by due steps we aspire to become religious, spiritual, or whatever you want to call. I'm only describing a state of being, which is a pure and simple physical and a physiological state of being. It has no religious content. I am bound to repeat this again. It has no mystical overtones whatsoever. So that is the difficulty. Probably you want to discuss very strange religious subjects like attachment, detachment, inner refinement, sensitivity and maturity and so on and so forth. I have precious little to say on those subjects. You can practice attachment or detachment for the rest of your life, but you will never be free from either attachment or detachment. You will always be caught up in the two. Let us keep the routine that why am I talking? Now I would say, why are you here? Because you are here, I'm talking. So we skip all that. And if there is anything that you want to discuss, I'm ready. I have nothing to say, nothing whatsoever to say. You all have some ideas about this, I believe. Maybe some of you are here for curiosity.
You talk about being selfish.
In any case, you are selfish, aren't you?
Yes.
Wanting to mutate or to transform yourself also springs from selfishness. You may not like it, but it is so. Anything you do on any level, in any direction, is strengthening the self.
Do you know the Prithu Sandhu of India?
I don't know anybody in India. Is he a religious man?
The palm leaf orego, palm matras and so on.
No.
No.
That as long as you ask yourself the question, why not me? Why should this happen to somebody else? There isn't any chance of your making it, if I may put it that way. I have to use the word making it because you are all trying to make it, whatever you want to make it. It's a thing which you cannot reach. Or is there any word like make reach or a get-at-able thing? It's all the search in search of this non-existent thing. That thing called enlightenment seems to me futile. And the futility of this search is what I have been trying to communicate with those who come to see me and care to listen to me. I have also explained that the so-called enlightenment, self-realization, God-realization, or what you will, is a pure and simple physical and a physiological state of being. It is just the pulse, the beat and throb of life. What one can do is to let it function in its own way. The practice of virtues is not the foundation for it at all. It does not mean that I am suggesting that the opposite of it should be the way of life. There is nothing to do. You are all the time interested in doing something. That's the one thing where you don't have to do a thing. If you can be that, just that, you are in that state. It is not my state or somebody else's state. That's your state, that is your natural state. That's the way you are all functioning. What prevents that to give expression to it is this movement of thought. You are all thinking about it. That's a thing which you can never capture in terms of thinking. You cannot think about it. You cannot want it in terms of thinking. I think I have said my say, said my pieces, as you put it. The one thing I can do is to repeat again and again and again. It is bound to be repetitive because your questions are repetitive. You ask the same old question, the answer is bound to be the same old one.
This is a question. That springs from thought naturally, from observation.
It's a long question. Can you put it very briefly? Education is not the way to it. I was telling some friends
very briefly, very briefly. Mm. Would this status that you said is natural life be possible for a child?
The child is in that state.
He's
in that state. Maybe the child is ignorant, you see. I don't know, it is useless to speculate the state of children. You can't remember how you were like when you were a child. You cannot educate people in any particular way. I was telling some friends yesterday here. I went to the very ordinary school. I went to the colleges run by Catholic missionaries. Am I any the worse for it? I didn't go to any school where, you see, they tried to create an atmosphere of freedom and all that bunk. I went to very ordinary schools. I questioned this, what's the difference between Lord Krishna, the Hindus talk about, and this Jesus Christ that these people are trying to dig into my ears day in and day out. There seems to be no difference. I believe in Krishna, they believe in Jesus, somebody else believes in Buddha. So that helped me to understand the absurdity of the whole business. I'm not any the worse for it, am I? I'm sorry.
I think what he is saying, though,
maybe I misunderstood it.
Is it inevitable that human beings catch themselves, that there are traps set to catch themselves in this ego illusion? Or is it possible for them to be born and avoid all of that misery and so on and so forth, all that illusory snafu?
Is that what you mean?
Only you emphasized education.
Yes. No, I said it was enough the answer that the child is leading, this natural life. We can say that if a child is with a so-called perfect person, he he will become a grown up in that peculiar state without losing it.
You see the
in the case. If a child is living,
is it inevitable that he lost?
It is inevitable.
No. The perfect individual or the perfect human being is a myth created by the mind. Each child is individually unique. The child, for its or her or his own reasons, whatever is the correct word, wants to fit into this framework created by you and me. So this is the problem. You see, you exploit the child, and child allows itself to be exploited by the society. So it is a vicious circle. And we are superimposing on the child the idea of a perfect human being. That's the problem of the religious people. They are telling you there is no such thing as a perfect human being at all.
But if the child did have none of this superimposed on it, would it grow up in its natural state without having paradise lost, period?
It's a hypothetical situation you are discussing. I don't know.
I think if you put the question otherwise, you know, and even further logically, the question is that is evolution a fact, and is there reincarnation? Because are the people born perfect, or are they the product of evolution, not perfect, and in evolution to become? So I think the basically is the question.
Well, this is a question that is born by our thinking process, you know, because we have been told about evolution, about this and that, who knows.
But he doesn't know.
I don't know if a man that is a liberated man, so to say, just to say, knows more about evolution.
No.
He doesn't
know anything. He doesn't know anything.
I understand this. There is no...
He is liberated from this search. That's all. Mm-hmm. These are all foolish, stupid questions.
Yes.
That's all. I don't know if there is any such thing as reincarnation. But the question is, are you born? It may sound very funny to you to ask the question, are you born? Can you tell me?
Physically, you mean?
Yourself. Can you experience
physically
your birth?
Remember?
Your own birth?
No, you cannot remember.
So how can you assure that you are born?
We are sure.
It is rational thinking. Your own birth can never become part of that experiencing structure. It is a statement, you say it is a conclusion, call it by whatever name you like. You have no way of experiencing your own birth or your own death. You will probably experience the death of somebody else, but not your own death. You are not going to preside over your own liquidation.
Well,
so neither your birth nor your death can ever become part of that experience.
About
structure.
Birth, I can agree. Mm-hmm. But about death, we cannot agree because we
will
experience
have to,
it. So I don't
you experience
know.
The death of others.
Well, we experience also the birth of others, but it is not the same thing.
You see, you experience the birth of others and the death of others too.
Others.
And it is your hope that probably you will experience your own death, but there is no guarantee that you will experience your own death.
Mm-hmm.
Because this structure, which is interested in understanding, your own birth and your own death won't be there. You become conscious of things.
Well,
how do you become conscious of things around you?
By memory. Memory. By memory. The memory that I have experienced.
Thought.
After.
It,
yes,
is,
thought.
It is thought.
Thought.
So in exactly the same way you become conscious of yourself through thought.
Yes.
Huh?
There is no other way.
There is no other way. So is that yours, that thought?
There is nothing worse in thought.
That is not yours. The thought, see, through which you think you are conscious of yourself, belongs to everybody, not yours.
It's the same thing with everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah.
The thought belongs to... The thoughts you are thinking are not your thoughts. They belong to everybody. So what is so special about you?
The special is that individually one feels pain and not feel the pain everybody.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sympathetically, one can just commune with others, but one feels its own ache.
All right.
And this is peculiar because the ache makes me, you know,
That is all right. You see, if you do not use the thought which everybody else uses to experience pain, is there a pain? Leave alone the child. Yes, I am asking you now. You say there is a pain. How do you become conscious
of pain,
or how do you experience what you call pain? It is only through the thought which belongs to everybody. So if you do not experience that through this thought which is everybody's, is there pain which you can call your own pain? The pain may be there.
This may be, but it is something that it is not important for me, because I feel pain. It is useless to speak about a state in which eventually there will be no pain.
No, I am not talking of any...
Actually, I feel pain.
I am not talking of any eventuality at all. He is talking of consciousness.
Physical.
He says,
physical.
I am conscious.
Right.
I am
but
conscious.
Even the pain doesn't belong to, even the concept is wrong word, but even the idea, the thought of pain...
The pain is there. The
right.
pain is there. Yeah. Whose pain is it? I am not discussing metaphysics. Whose pain is it? Is it yours or mine? It is not mine, it's not yours. And whose pain it is?
I can see the reaction. There is a reaction, an automatic reaction in me. When I feel pain, automatically,
you
try to avoid pain.
This
is what is going on. Maybe it is wrong, it doesn't matter. But this is what actually is going on.
What is pain?
I don't know.
You seem to know.
I don't know what you're all talking. I want to understand what exactly you mean by pain. How do you become... How do you experience pain? How do you become conscious of your pain? I'm not mystifying anything. It's a simple physical thing, you see. I'm not mystifying. Don't introduce the psychological and physiological. There is only one pain.
We cannot know how we feel pain. We just feel pain. I don't know, maybe everybody does not feel pain.
It is the same, everybody is exactly the same.
I personally feel sometimes an ache, sorrowful, also psychically speaking.
Yes, I know you are introducing psychically.
But for me it's important just physical pain, just to...
You know,
I am conscious of my physical pain when I have toothache.
Yes.
I am conscious that I have toothache. This puts me in a reaction. I try to go to a doctor to do something about this, so I move. This is true. And this is also something that makes me become
sure. You become conscious of pain through thinking, whether it is your toothache or stomachache or headache.
The ache is there,
the toothache is there, the headache is there, the stomachache is there, all the other aches are there. So you become conscious, what you call you. You become conscious of these pains only through thinking. That is all that I am pointing out. If the thinking is not there, you do not know what that pain is, whether it is toothache or stomachache or headache or what ache it is.
If the thinking is there,
then there is no acuity of pain, you see.
Then the animals.
Well, let's forget about the animals.
But then with this silly thing that I used to do, or still do, that if I have a pain, I can disconnect and the pain stops. I don't know how to explain it, but I disconnect the thought and then there's no pain.
What?
The word much more means that there is a less more ache.
Yes.
Continuing.
Yes. So you cannot, look here, you cannot separate, you cannot separate yourself from pain, and you are separating yourself from the pain all the time. And what separates you from the pain? It is the thought. It is the thought that separates you from the pain. So as long as the thought is there, the pain is there. When the thought is not there, is there pain? That's a question, you know.
If that's a funny question, there are always thoughts. So, thought comes to an end.
So you cannot understand.
Well, I cannot understand.
You cannot understand. That's all that I am trying to point out.
Okay, so when I understand.
Don't say that. That's all. That is the end. That enlightened person would never say to himself or to anybody that I am an enlightened man. Now you see, I have set myself in the business and I am going to liberate you all. You know? That's a lot of nonsense.
There's a lot of people in that business.
Goodness gracious, there are so many. You become party to that. Without you, there is no business, you know. I cease to be a holy businessman, that's all right. Without you, I need you to set up business.
Yeah, as a listener, as a follower.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
As a present.
Well, as long as it's not any interest one, it's all
right. Can we go back to that no beginning and no end? I mean, because there is no beginning, no end, because there is no experiencing structure that can experience it. Is that the...
Yes.
Is that why there's no beginning and no end?
Yes. I have to make a statement.
Yes.
That it is beginningless and endless.
Right.
So take it or leave. Yes. That's not part of your experience. That can never become part of your experience. So how are you going to experience the beginningless and endless thing through this structure, which has a beginning and it has no end in your case?
Mm-hmm.
You see, you come into existence when the thought is born. Otherwise you are not there. So you are giving continuity to the thought. Otherwise the thought should go. If it is in flashes, if it's coming in impulses, the thought. You give continuity. As long as you feel the pain all the time, separate yourself from the pain, there is a continuity of thought. So if not that, you move on to somebody else, something else, you understand, another kind of a thing. Through that you are giving continuity, whereas it has no continuity. Then the question is not there, but how am I going to experience a thing that has no beginning and that has no end? Otherwise it is a statement. Life has no beginning, life has no end. You see, life is a movement. And then has it any direction? These are not the questions of the movement of life. The river is not asking these questions. Am I heading towards the Pacific Ocean or Atlantic Ocean or the Northern Sea? It's not. So what will happen to the movement next moment is not its question. When there is, you see, a block, either it overflows or takes a turn, something happens then when it is blocked by something. Otherwise, it is flowing. So you should not push these similes to the logical conclusion. It is not conscious of its movement. But it has a consciousness of its own, the nature of which and the content of that consciousness can never become part of this thinking structure. You cannot, don't try to experience a thing which it cannot experience. Then it stops. It doesn't stop, it falls in its natural rhythm. Thoughts will never disappear. Don't imagine that I am talking of a state where the thoughts will disappear completely and totally. The thought and life are not two separate things. Pain and thought are not two separate things, it is one. The thought separates itself from the pain and creates the you there. So otherwise, you see, it's moving all the time. It's a constant movement. It's always in flux, so you don't feel the pain so much. If I say so much, you see, it's not a question of more and less. You see, the pain for practical purposes, for all purposes, is not the pain at all in the sense in which you feel it.
I suppose I have a problem that the bells of the church are ringing, but I cannot hear them because I am busy with thought in my mind.
You are preoccupied.
Right.
Or you are trying to become one with that. you create an intense feeling of listening to the bell.
Well, I still see that there's a flow of thought all the time,
yes,
which makes the screen between me.
Between the ringing of the bell,
the ringing of the bell.
And what you call you.
And what I call me.
Yes.
I feel puzzled about that. One has to know the question that is, what am I to do about it? Am I supposed to do anything about it?
So, if I tell you there is nothing to do there, and if somebody else says that there is something that you can do about it, where are you? I say there isn't anything that you can do about it. When you see that there isn't anything you can do about it, the puzzle remains a puzzle. And it has the answer, it solves itself. You see, you must leave it as a puzzle.
When did you say there's an answer only if you look?
Leave the puzzle as a puzzle, and then the puzzle solves itself. You don't have to do a thing. And how it solves itself, you can never capture that.
But there's one thing I don't understand.
Yes.
My mind works on the principle of pleasure. My mind always looks for pleasure.
Yes, all right. What is wrong with it?
Nothing.
You do accept that?
Yeah, I do accept
you
that.
You do accept that?
Sure.
So anybody talking anything against pleasure is out for you.
Right.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Huh?
Right.
You are finished with all talk against pleasure. You are not so sure. You are not so sure. You are not so sure of your statement. There isn't anything else other than pleasure for me. Full stop, period. So anybody talking anything about it, you see, doing something about it, has no meaning at all. Has it?
But if I perceive my mind to be greedy and even making illusion dreams because it wants more pleasure, so isn't it an escape? So what am I supposed to let my mind just escape in dreams, in illusions?
Which you are in any case doing.
Well, okay, so...
Well, don't say, why don't you say okay?
Look here, I
want you to stick to that, okay, there isn't anything else.
Well, no, there's not an okay because...
That's what I'm saying, there, it is not an okay with you.
Right.
Yes, it, to me, you see, it is an okay. So anybody talking against pleasure has no meaning at all to me. I wouldn't touch that. I wouldn't listen to that crap at all. So this is the reality. You are not looking at this. That is the escape. You are escaping from a reality. The everyday reality, everyday thinking. This is a fact. And all the talk, you see, wanting to do something about this pleasure has no meaning at all.
Okay, so I have nothing wrong against pleasure, but against the fact that my mind escaped the illusion of dreams.
How is mind different from pleasure?
I am always with thoughts.
Yes, all right, you accept that.
What do I do with what you said about the fact that...
You can't do anything. You can't do anything.
What you're saying is not relevant to me.
That is exactly what I'm saying. It is not relevant to you at all. You cannot apply this. You cannot relate this to the way you are thinking and the way you are functioning. You and I can sit here for the next 40 years and you carry on this dialogue, a meaningless dialogue, and it will remain a meaningless dialogue. So you have to come to a point where I don't understand a thing about what this chap is saying. You can walk out, it is just fine with me, see. So what is the point? You don't seem to realize that you cannot relate this to the way you are functioning and the way you are thinking. So you have to accept the reality of that. That is the escape, that you can do something about it is the escape. You are bound to do that because you have separated yourself from the pleasure or pain or whatever. You don't want to be separate from the pleasure. There you want to be one with the pleasure. When there is what you call pain, you naturally want to separate yourself and then do something about it.
When you go Buddhism escape. So
you called it, yes. All right.
Well, you said I'm trying to escape thought because thought is pleasure, thought is pain. I cannot. I want to hear the trees or the water or whatever. But I cannot because my perception is colored by my thoughts.
Sure.
All the time.
So all right, somebody says, you see, listen to the river.
Well, I can see.
Where are you? Listen to the river, you sit there, you see, every day. I don't know if you are doing it or not. Now I am going to listen to the river. How are you going to listen to the river? Through what you call thinking. You turn that into pleasure.
That's the question I'm asking you.
Okay. Yes. So there is no question of you listening to the river. As long as you are there, there is no listening to the river. Then the river listens to itself.
Okay, so how do I get rid of?
Why do you ask how?
Because what?
Why? What makes you think that you should get rid of this? This is my question. What for do you want to get rid of that? Because somebody has put this into your head.
Because there's a flow of thought that I don't even want to think. I mean, when I want to think and I think, fine. But when I don't want to think and it's thought, I think there's a problem there. Or do I make a problem?
You say you don't want to think. That is also thinking. You look at that thought and tell me about all the thought you are talking about. It's a simple question. You seem to know all about that. I really don't know what this thought is, what this thinking is that you are talking about. I have no way of looking at it. I can't touch it, I can't feel it, I can't experience it. What I am talking is, you see, another movement of thought. This is all that I have realized. No matter what is happening there, it is one thought against another thought, one thought looking at another thought, one movement of thought looking at another movement of thought. As long as this parallel movement goes on and on and on and on, what you want to do about it is an impossible thing. This is the thing that you must first realize. What is thought? You ask yourself this question. What am I saying? What is it all that I am trying to communicate to this chap? You question that, put that question and look at that yourself. And you will see the impossibility of looking at what you call your own thought. Leave alone what to do about it, you see, whether to control or you see, change it into something else. Or first look at that, if you can. I say you can't look at it.
Yeah, but nevertheless you say look at it.
I have to put it that way, you see, to make you see the impossibility of trying to
look at it. The only way I can look at it.
You can't look at it, you have to say to yourself, not, you don't even have to say to yourself. If you say to yourself that I can't look at it, that means the thought is still going on and on and on. You can't say to yourself even, I don't seem to be able to look at it. That is also a thought. Through that, you see, the tricky thing is bringing, gathering momentum. I don't know, if you say to yourself, I put it that way, I don't know. In order to give a feel about it, so that you may get the hang of what I am trying to point out. You can't say that to yourself. If you say that to yourself, I don't know, I can't look at it, see, it doesn't mean anything.
What did you mean the other day by the slowing down of thoughts? You said sometimes it becomes
naturally slows down, not you. It's
no.
Naturally slows down. I don't know what to do.
Not you, but with other people. How does it begin to slow
with
down?
With me, with you, with everybody, it is the same. You still have a hope. This is your problem. Maybe I will be able to do this trick next time. So come here next time and listen to me again. Maybe, you see,
I don't know if I want to be those days. I think you so know that. I'm not sure I won't be there.
You don't want to be
yourself? No, I'm not
you
sure.
Don't
I'm
want,
not
do you want to be yourself?
Oh, yes, myself.
How?
Whatever that state is.
How are you going to be yourself? There isn't anything you can do about it.
Maybe, We don't have to do anything.
Yes, yes. You are doing all the time. Listening to the talks, listening to the discussions, reading books, you know. You don't seem to realize the implications of your statement. I don't have to do anything about it. Anything that I do is taking me away, you see, from my natural state. That's all. Any movement in any direction, on any level, is taking me away from myself.
Even if it is so, life can carry on.
In any case, it is going on, isn't it? Your thinking seems to have no relationship whatsoever with the way you are acting. That is totally unrelated. What I am saying, if you memorize and repeat it, it has no meaning. That's the way we have memorized all the religious jargon.
So really, there's nothing we have to worry about. No. the question you answered.
No? There are no questions anymore.
Because either we are going to carry on or not.
In any case, you are carrying on. Why do you doubt that?
Yes.
The life is going on in its own way, and you want to know if there is any meaning or not. How am I going to live? You see, all this is only to introduce the factor of how am I going to live. There is another way of living, you know. Spiritual life is far superior to the life of materialism. It is all one. You divide life into spiritual and material life. That is the beginning of our misery. Whoever started this misery is not the problem. So there is another way of living. There must be some other way of living. So that creates the problem. So I go here, there and everywhere, listen to this chap, that chap and another chap there. So what do I do about what the chap is saying? I begin to think. What do I want to think about it? What for do I want to think? To change this, you see, to do something about a thing which is running its own course, moving in its own way. Only when you want to cultivate some land, enrich and grow some food, you will use that water. You will put dams, if you have the bunds everywhere, to prevent the overflowing of the river. You are afraid. You want to do something. So everything that you see around is the product of thought. Everything you touch, everything you see, and yourself, what you call yourself, is born out of thought. This is the difficulty. So you want to control it, you want to shape it, you want to do something about it and get something out of it. What for? You want to apply it, you see, to change. To do something about it, you see, the way this is functioning, the way the things are going on.
Is it a difficulty?
Hmm?
I mean, what we are doing, is it a difficulty?
It's a meaningless thing that you are, that's all that I'm saying. What you are doing is a meaningless thing.
I don't know.
You are not so sure.
Say that.
Huh?
What about meditation? Methods of meditation, Zen meditation, or something, or other kinds
now
of meditation.
Now, wouldn't you say that we are doing like a child is doing, and you can't say a child is doing some meditation?
Why do you always bring child?
Or every other child?
You are a child even now, no. I tell you. You are a child, you see. This is a disparaging statement,
now,
please.
What we are doing,
look here, what you are doing there inside of you is what the child is doing, repeating. All the time, what you have been taught, what you have been told, it's the same thing. Every time you look at it, you say to yourself, it's a table. Or when there is a feeling, this is me, this is I. You see, I am feeling pain, I am feeling pleasure, I am happy, I am unhappy. You are repeating, you see, this is the same thing like a child.
That is
the senility. Not the old age, not when the brain cells become weak, but when you are healthy and strong, when the brain is functioning normally, you are repeating this. This is wearing you out. This is senility. Senility, I don't know how you pronounce that word. repetitive thing. You are repeating all the time a thing which has no relationship whatsoever with the way you are functioning.
But this senility is a part of this movement.
Do you mean that the way we're functioning is the natural state, in spite of the fact that we don't know it?
You are wearing it out all the time.
But that is
the You are destroying the full potential. The peak capacity is of the senses. You are interfering with them all the time. What I'm saying is just a simple thing, living the life of senses. I'm not suggesting sensuality, that's not what I mean. Just to let the senses operate in their own way at their peak capacity. If you begin to think, then you are interfering with the senses and the sensitivity is gone. Not the sensitivity of the mind. I don't like to use that word sensitivity at all.
Don't you think it would be a help if you say that we are not functioning repetitively? Wouldn't you think it would help us to live the life of the senses by not pointing out that we are something different from living the life of the senses?
That's
maybe we are already living.
That is what I am saying. You are in your natural state. Why don't you
let this repetition and
thinking, repeating that is a mountain. That's all.
Isn't that also?
You see, you are thirsty. You are hungry. You say to yourself, "I am thirsty." You don't have to say to yourself. You just go and get some water and drink. This is an automatic action. This has an intelligence there, built-in intelligence there. Why do you have to say to yourself that I am thirsty? You say to yourself, you know. I am hungry, you say to yourself. You don't have to do that. If there is thirst, it quenches itself. Is that the word you mean? The thirst quenches itself, it's thirst. You don't have to do anything about it. You see, what happens is the intelligence that is functioning there automatically drags you to the faucet or wherever the water is there. If there is no water, you will then ask somebody else. So in exactly the same way, all the other activities of the body.
And we keep interfering with it.
Unnecessarily, there is no meaning.
You are saying that we are not living the life of sanity and someone is living the life of
sanity. It is obvious that you are not living the life of senses to me. It is not obvious to you. If you are living this life of the senses, or if the senses were living their own life, you wouldn't ask all these questions, you know? You would never ask these questions. He's asking about meditation. Meditation is, that's a dreadful word, I don't like to use that word at all. So that is the natural state. It is always meditative, you see, not in the sense in which you use the word meditative, wonder, puzzle. The puzzle is the meditation. You are wondering what that mountain is. So what they call mountain? You see, there is glare there, and you want to prevent the glare, you know, because you are afraid that it will hurt your eyes. So in exactly the same way, this is affecting you. You are putting an armor around yourself because you don't want to be hurt. That is the purpose of this conversation. If there is any purpose, I don't know if there is any purpose at all.
We don't want to be unknowing. We want to know every damn thing.
Yes, this is hurting you. You have a vested interest in something else. That is why you don't want to be influenced by what I am saying or what anybody is saying.
Not influence, but so much as I want to listen correctly, you know, get it correctly, not...
A distorted...
Yeah, not unbalanced by what you say,
mm-hmm.
but really to get it so that, so that there's no imbalance, you see. Because it's
what
obviously...
What does it matter? If it disturbs the whole thing,
yes,
and some kind of a disequilibrium comes into being, what does it matter?
Now, when you say it doesn't matter.
What does it matter?
So
you have nothing to lose there.
Yes.
You are afraid that you will lose something which you consider very precious.
doesn't matter?
It doesn't matter. For you it seems to matter. For you it seems to matter very much. That's why you are blocking this. You are ducking. You have nothing to lose. Nothing. You have nothing to lose. Yourself. What you call yourself. Yes. Sure. That is more important than anything else in this world. The most important thing for you is to realize that you are doing all the time.
Because I still believe that I can help to stop that happening.
Natural, that is natural. Why don't you accept that natural thing? So I am finished for you. You see, if you accept that natural thing, all this talk about doing something about the thought is finished for you. One